Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates, and Claire Limmer Abid. Hello.
Hi.
Right, good. No fucking about today.
Have we not already done enough of that?
Yeah. Do you want any personal anecdotes about how I got here?
There's that Storm Babette, is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the weather, surely.
No, there's, like you say, there's too much to get to.
Briefly going to say, we got to 10,000 followers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Thank you, we're very grateful. Da 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 da.
Right. So, but also, so well done, it. Omar.
Thank you.
Excellent content. Mega content.
Mega content.
Content is mega. Matt.
Oh, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Oh. Content is mega. And that's, well, Omar, really. But
this is something that's going to come up, isn't it? People talking about the show and getting in touch with us and things later on. I'll say at the beginning as well, we'll probably forget stuff because there's too much.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This week has been like 6 weeks of content. Well, actually, the first three episodes were some dull
stuff. Just last night, that's been 6 weeks worth of content.
Someone texted me and was like, well, they made up for it. We had an absolute snooze fest. And then
I saw the same on Twitter, the same sentiment of people being like, oh God, I'm so bored. And I'm not never that big a fan of a weddings after a certain point anyway, but I didn't think they were that bad.
To be honest, it wasn't boring. It was more frustrating because I think a lot of people are feeling the same, where they bring in all these new characters and you just learn everybody out and you're sort of, you're getting more invested in how everyone's doing, and then you see no footage of like Laura and Arthur or Jay and Luke. You just have to learn the new couples and you're like, I don't really care about these people yet. I will.
Yeah.
But it's learning to care. And it's then feeling frustrated when, like, they need their skull buttons.
The skull buttons.
Oh, infamous skull buttons.
But I think we're going to come on to the new ones, aren't we?
Yeah.
We'll leave them till the end.
We feel like the elephant in the room is we cannot not start.
with
the dinner party.
Yeah.
I was actually shaking.
You watched it at 9:30 in the morning.
I was out last night. I made Johnny watch it with me this morning at 9:30 a.m. after the school run with our breakfast. And that's too early.
Yeah, it's not breakfast TV.
It's not breakfast TV. The adrenaline was too much. And also because it was coming from all angles in terms of the drama. Because obviously Erica and Tasha kicked it off before I'd had one spoonful of porridge. It was just so intense. Tramp. And I was just like, I was in shock.
I couldn't believe you said to me, what did she say? As Erica did.
Well, I think we rewound that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because I was just like, Already, we're started already. We're straight in there.
I was jokingly like saying, I'm going to analyse that like it's a, you know, football match
who
or something.
Who avoided who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I've not had, I think we rewound it once so I could get a photograph. But
it didn't
yeah.
feel like anyone avoided anyone.
No.
It was like she muttered tramp before it was even a thing. I was so shocked. And then I actually think Erica did what you'd be advised to do by a lot of like experts or psychologists is like, ask the person, if you've been, if someone says something really offensive to you, you have to ask them to repeat it.
Right.
Because then they might feel the humiliation of like, oh, what did I actually just say? So Erica stayed really calm. She was like, what did you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rather than blowing up. And then Tasha actually stuck by it. But it was wild. They hadn't had a drink yet. They hadn't sat down.
She really heeded Paul's advice to squash the beef early.
I felt for Paul because, I mean, I don't dislike Tasha. I think she's just got some issues with, like she said herself, with being triggered. But Paul's such a sweetheart and I don't want him to feel like he's being dragged into that sort of like argy-bargy.
I mean, he was really trying to be on her side and kind of be her ally.
He was,
and,
wasn't he?
But really, Erica hadn't done anything that bad. I think that was what Erica was trying to say. But even if I had ignored you,
it didn't warrant that strong statement.
Yeah.
Well, Paul had to. He was in a position where he had to go, look, Tasha wouldn't do that for no reason. Something must have happened. It's like,
but it's still not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? And then it was quite funny when Erica sort of apologised but kind of said, well, I will.
She didn't.
I will apologise, but I haven't done anything. I've got anything to apologise for.
Yeah, Tasha was like, well, I think I'm waiting for your apology. And Erica's like, oh, you need it, do you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And it was really, because it had almost been reconciled and then it all unravelled again. And I was like, oh, my heavens. And it was just so unnecessary. That's what I don't get. My thing, if we're being serious, is I don't understand Tasha not pouring her energy into Paul. Why does she care about Erica? Erica's just this new girl on the scene. She's not a threat in any sort of way. Paul, she's very happy with Paul. Paul's got only eyes for her. It's not like she's like, she's vying for her man or something.
Yeah.
Erica's just arrived and she's taken offense with her. She just doesn't like her for whatever reason, but she's pouring all this energy into Erica and disliking Erica and stirring the pot when actually that might drive a wedge between her and Paul, which at the moment's going so beautifully. You think, why are you risking?
I wonder if it's partly, like so many situations on this programme, it's because of the, you're in this bottle, trapped with these other people, and you form, every friendship is that much more intense, every dislike is that much more, it's not just, I don't really like that person, you fucking hate them, you know?
Yeah.
It's because there's nothing, what has happened?
Nothing at all. But sometimes Erica can be a little, like when she refused to apologise, she didn't really have anything to apologise for, but the way she said it was quite like winding Tasha up.
Even in her toast.
Yeah. Saying, oh, yeah. Some people have welcomed me with open arms.
You know who you are.
I think that's what I meant. Yeah. Like, there is I don't even know if it's passive aggressive, maybe it's just full on aggressive. But there is a side to her where I can see how she might have wound Tasha up. What I don't understand is the extent to which Tasha's decided she's her arch nemesis, and Tasha will be willing to throw everything she's built out for this weird fight.
Because I don't think Erica's that invested.
No, she's almost smirking at it, like, what is this? Like, that's the problem. The more someone smirks, the angrier you get.
Well, it's the whole group dynamics thing, isn't it? Like, this is why the dinner parties and the commitment ceremonies and these like spin the bottle parties they have or whatever add so much to the drama, because although your relationship might be going well, how do you feel about your position in that group? And then for Tasha, I think she's, you know, been triggered in some ways, and she's perhaps feels she's losing her position in the group as, you know, the one whose relationship's going the best or the one who has the strongest relationship with the other girls or something like that. So then her defences are kicking in because she feels she's losing that position, and that's getting directed at Erica as being the one who is like kind of knocking her off her sort of pedestal a bit, I suppose.
This is why we need you, because those are real words of wisdom. But I totally agree, and I think Tasha then said something that was quite revealing. You know, when Sean and Mark walked in, Tasha shouted in like a jokey way, I hate all this change. There you go, we've nailed it. The change is unnerving. The change is unnerving, and she's managed to channel all that quite aggressive like feeling towards poor Erica as like the one solo person to take it. But tramp is just such a strange word to pick. It's got a little bit of nostalgia to it. It's quite an old-fashioned sort of 80s throwaway term. Yeah, oh, you're tramp.
We had tramp, we had canoodling.
Oh, we like that, canoodle. Canoodling with someone else.
I feel like tramp is like Bugsy Malone, like, oh, she's just a tramp. Yeah, so the drama kicked off within minute one, didn't it? Of them coming in. Who avoided who? We need the VAR.
But even before that, I was anxious because Erica and Jordan were there on their own. And I was thinking, no, please don't be Tasha and Paul that come in.
Yes.
I was so anxious thinking it was Paul and Tasha that were going to come in next.
Luke?
It was Roz and Thomas.
This might be their only mention this episode.
This is unproblematic now. I mean, we had a lot more to say about them at the beginning because they were trying to find their feet. And now they've found their feet. It's just really sweet. And like, they've become the sweethearts that I wanted Tasha and Paul to be. But now Tasha's throwing herself into more of that drama. It's harder to be so comfortable when they're on screen because you're like, oh, what's going to happen? Whereas with Roz and Thomas, they just...
I mean, I can say Thomas had a haircut.
Oh, you did clock that, didn't
haircut.
You?
Haircut.
Yeah. It's quite a
Read
nice
all
one.
About it.
No, Roz was helping Bianca a
yeah,
fair bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, do we start talking about Bianca?
Not yet.
Oh. I'm in love with her.
We're saving that.
So then how did the drama continue to unfold?
Well, still in the mingling. Still in the mingling stage about who's avoiding who.
Right.
The next build-up, it's going to be another football reference, John Terry and Wayne Bridge-esque. Are they going to shake hands? Nathaniel and JJ.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We didn't see actually whether they did or they didn't, did
I
we?
Suspect there was some acknowledgement and it was edited out. Because if there was a blatant ghosting,
we'd
they would have seen it.
Seen it.
It looked like Nathaniel didn't go over to him. But that, like you say, it might have been edited out.
Yeah.
And JJ, the thing that annoys me, one of the things that annoys me about JJ is... he manages to have this air where nothing, he's not the instigator. Things just happen around him. He always looks like he has this really mellow way where he can be the center of some of this drama, but he's like, oh, it's nothing to do with me. Do you know what I mean? Like this, and I've said it before, it's almost like a childlike energy or like his face is quite, he doesn't have an aggressive demeanor, but he does hurtful things.
Yeah.
So you end up thinking that you end up falling for his gaslighting, where you're like, "What has he done?" No, well, I'm not explaining it very well.
But he doesn't have a lot of expression in general terms.
I guess.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you never see him sort of very animated or very angry or very excited or very sad. You just don't see
that's true.
Much
and then
at all.
What made me laugh was when Ella and JJ had their illicit date by the snooker table.
Oh my god.
And they were
like,
almost
and it was like
that.
This. It was like, you're right? You're right? You're right? Yeah, you. And then they're like, sparks were flying. I was like, that's the most boring shit I've ever seen.
No, no, it was I saw you in your swimming costume. It was nice.
Think they're having this wild affair and literally no one cares.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't understand. Do they think that it's sparky? Do they think they've got this huge... has it been edited where it looks like it's nothing?
Based on the chat we've seen from him so far, I mean, that is probably the best he can muster. He reminds me of a slug.
Oh, I feel like we're being really mean now. I feel like we're being really mean. I just don't know.
No, hang on, a slug. Don't go too far into this because we don't want to be mean. But what do you mean a slug?
Just nothing. Just it's annoying. And like, but it's not, it's an invertebrate.
Oh, interesting.
All right, David Attenborough.
Yeah.
I don't think he's even malicious. I don't think
exactly.
I think he thinks of himself as a nice guy, and when we get to it, they both defended themselves saying, you know, we haven't meant anyone any harm, but that doesn't mean you don't cause harm.
Yeah.
But I just the fact that they think that there's this huge love story and this feels like there's nothing there.
I know.
I mean, wouldn't you love to see their text messages on their Nokia 2s, whatever they were texting on.
This was a lot of chat about the old school phones.
What were those phones?
Well, I guess they give them to all the cast so that they can't be communicating with the outside world. They give them a phone with all the other cast members in, welfare, whatever.
Was it giving you Nelly and Kelly?
Yes, I heard that a lot.
I saw a lot of them put on
Excel. I love you.
I saw a lot of them put on Instagram that they enjoyed it because it had Snake.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
So there were, that was their little, you know.
It was quite jarring.
One of those phones.
Texting on those phones. Oh, I would just love to see their text messages, because is it going to be, you're right? You're right? You're right. You're right. Like, are they talking about their deepest feelings? Where's, anyway, I'm being mean. I just don't, are they willing to throw everything away and the friendships and reputations that they've built up on the show? Because Ella was coming across as a bit of a darling of the show. Everyone's friend, full of life. And now it was really uncomfortable yesterday with where she's placed herself in being a bit of a villain.
Yeah. But what I found frustrating as well was JJ kept saying, I don't know what it is.
Oh, about the connection.
We have this connection, but I don't know what it is.
I think it might be the tits.
Yeah. What do you think it might be,
you
JJ?
Said
Let's
you like
think
girls,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you said you like girls who've had a lot of work. So she's had a lot of work. She's your type. And then I know we're going to come to it, but I keep wanting to go to Bianca because I think she handled it so beautifully.
Yeah.
She was... Okay, can I talk about the fashion for 1 second? I know this isn't a fashion podcast. The revenge dress on Bianca was giving me, you know, like everyone talks about the Princess Diana revenge dress. I know her. Maybe she shouldn't have been trying to get JJ's attention because it's
Marcel. Exactly. That upset me.
No, but she was looking gorgeous and she was empowered and strong and came in and she wanted to feel like a prize worth having. No, that's the wrong terminology. No, she wanted to feel gorgeous and she looked gorgeous. And then I just thought it was funny because Ella was in like bubblegum pink trying to look innocent and Barbie-like and like she wouldn't hurt a fly, and I was like, the fashion is speaking volumes here of like the glittery revenge dress that's completely sheer and like showing a sexual side. I think she feels probably hard done by that. She hasn't been seen as this attractive sexual person that she is and she's been just left like a lemon, and I'm like, she's trying to show she's not a lemon. She's a bloody whatever, pineapple. What's a sexy fruit?
Do you get a cherry?
She's a cherry. And I just find it interesting when they come in their outfits, and it's sometimes like it's quite telling of where they're at. And I loved, this is not important, but I loved Laura's white off the shoulder with the cape.
Oh, she looked very bridal.
Grecian. Mm. I love Laura. Laura seems to be the voice of reason so often.
She should be ashamed of herself.
I know. She was like, what the fuck have I done?
Oh, no.
I know.
Well, hang on. Let's keep to some
sort of time.
We are chaotic.
I told you, fucking about.
This is a reflection of how the dinner party was, though, isn't it?
I know.
How can we be expected to talk about it in rational, linear terms when it just was chaos?
It's like a Christopher Nolan film. Well, what I want to come to then, I think next chronologically in the dinner party, continuing with Nathaniel, was him and Ella being
sat next to each other.
Backs turned to each other.
It was
When he decided to go, he'd obviously already decided, like, I'm coming to the dinner party, and at the first opportunity, I'm going to fully bite and I'm ready. And you're just like, can you keep it down, please? I can hear you talking about me.
But even before that, poor Mark and Sean on the other side of Nathaniel
didn't know
what was going on. First dinner party, Nathaniel's saying to Mark, well, just listen in to what she's saying. Talks about herself all the time. You'll hear. Go on, you'll hear.
I was thinking,
oh no, Mark and Sean are probably there thinking they'll try and make friends. You know, let's build some connections. Yeah. And Nathaniel's straight in there with...
It must be quite interesting as well. Like, you know how you perceive yourself as some... In different friendship groups, you're sort of the different character sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, in some groups, you feel like you're the loudest. It must be funny for someone like Mark coming in where he has a big personality. You didn't hear a peep from him because there was just so much. And he must have thought, right, I'll make an impression. I'll come in. I'll make some friends.
Yeah.
I'm the diva. I'm like, no, there's already 10 divas in this room.
Goodness
So Nathaniel and Ella... And it was interesting. I don't know if I'm being too like analytical, but I thought it was interesting how both their mics were playing. Did you hear that, like, you could hear what Ella was saying and you could hear what Nathaniel was saying, and they were both talking at the same time?
Yes.
And it was quite cleverly done because, like, it made me realise normally they must dull other people's mics to concentrate on one conversation. Mm. But we were hearing what Nathaniel was hearing, which was Ella just yap, 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 yap.
We were made
to think, like, oh, she's this yappy yap. Which I guess we were seeing it from Nathaniel's perspective of she's always talking about herself. And then it was interesting when she lied, bless her, because she was like, oh, I'm asking Roz about her family. And Roz was like, she wasn't.
No, because Nathaniel said to Roz, what did she just say?
So I would say...
So poor Roz just told the truth, didn't she, bless her? Oh,
well, the pattern,
he put so many people on the spot.
I was about to say...
Fair play, Nathaniel.
The pattern of the evening was them each putting everyone on the spot. Ella kept saying, you guys need to stand up for me.
God.
You girls know, you need to... Why why is no one standing up for me? Oh, and then really laying into Laura. And Nathaniel was saying, you guys know me. And it was almost like it was like divorcing parents trying to get the kids to take to go away on who's holiday on with them side. And who's on my side, like, mum's a liar, dad's a liar. And they both were trying to get the support of the group, and the whole group were like, stop asking us, we're not
I'm not sure Nathaniel was bothered about the support of the group. I think Nathaniel, again, we're going to have to give some full disclosure here, is that we'd heard that he leaves the show.
Yeah.
We'd heard this a few weeks
ago. Ages ago, yeah.
It was like the first week of maths.
Yeah, the spoilers.
We already knew that.
And probably a lot of people listening would have seen it, because it was everywhere when I saw it. Yeah. It was in like Metro and Daily Met, and not that I go on there, but like I was seeing links to different like main sites.
Yeah. So my perception of him was sort of skewed by that, because I assumed, oh, something's going to happen. He's going to treat Ella badly, and then he's going to bolt.
Mm.
And it's totally not that. I think from the interview we've seen that he did with the Daily Mirror, he wanted to go on and, although he is pansexual, preferably be matched with a man.
Right.
They came back to him and said, we found you a match. It's a woman, a trans woman.
Yeah.
Would you be open to it? And he said, I'm open to it, but it's not the best chance of a successful match, because I think I would be better off with a man.
Okay. Or masculine energy.
Right.
Or a woman with masculine energy.
Okay.
Okay.
And she's very girly.
Yes. She's a girl's girl.
She's a girl's girl. We'll come to that.
Bubblegum ping. Bubblegum ping does not a girl's girl make.
So then they basically gave him 2 or 3 weeks to think about it, but it sounded like he was being pressured. He was being asked every day, come on, it's going to be a great story, especially for Ella.
Okay.
And I think the mistake he's made is he's gone into it thinking, I am pansexual, it might work. You know, I give everyone there the same leniency of thinking, you know what, they are experts, and when else am I going to get this opportunity?
Yeah.
It might be the match of my dreams, even if it's not specifically what I've asked for in terms of the gender.
Right. Mm.
And I think he's gone in there, it's not worked, he's tried to make it work to a certain extent, but in his heart of hearts knows it's not there.
Yeah.
And now he's waited for a time where he can viably leave
on his terms. But I don't know if I agree with he's given it, he's tried.
I'm being generous.
I never saw a romantic relationship try from him. I saw some lovely friendship support. I saw him be supportive of her and be kind to her and give her a chance after, well, not, I don't know, back and forth between them, like we saw ups and downs and them giving each other opportunities. But I didn't ever see from what was edited, I never saw a romantic try from him, like, oh, let's go for a lovely meal, or let's do this, or I want to hear more about your family or your views. Or,
well, I think at the wedding and probably the very beginning of the honeymoon, I think there was a window. But part of what Nathaniel said, I think as well, was a couple of other non-negotiables were a non-smoker, so the person he wanted had to not smoke, which Ella does.
Is she a smoker, right?
Apparently, from this
we only assume that because
that's what Nathaniel said. Okay. And nobody who has or does work in the sex industry.
Right.
So he was saying that's why they were such big deals on the honeymoon.
Okay.
And that's why it all blew up on the honeymoon. But how then it came about, he stayed in and, you know, I don't know. But it's, I think there was a very small window at the very beginning.
I guess they did have that snog at the top of the aisle, didn't they?
Yeah,
the wedding was quite passionate. Yeah. I guess in the adrenaline of the day.
Yeah.
I think you're right. On reflection, there wasn't a romantic thing there. But he said repeatedly last night, I protected you. And I don't know if protected is the right word, but he certainly supported her when she was...
Cheerleaded and...
With his commitment ceremony when she was struggling, he went and got her. Yeah. When she made a statement in front of everyone at the dinner party, he was, you know, very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Her saying that, like, this is what happens when things start to fall apart. People start making accusations of, oh, that's not, now you're seeing the real him.
Yeah.
This is what Nathaniel's really like. It's like, I don't think that there's been any facade from Nathaniel. I think he's just not really into you. I think it's that simple.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done anything particularly bad. It just didn't kind of work out. Mm. The mistake he made was, he probably shouldn't have gone in knowing that he would have been better matched with a man.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Mm.
And like, you, with both these couples, with Bianca and JJ and with Nathaniel and Ella, you can't force a physical attraction, but JJ's the one I hold to accounts because he never even tried. He never even tried to see an attraction there. I think he was wrong on two faults. He never tried to see an attraction there. He sort of wrote her off straight away,
yeah,
for whatever reason. And then he also never really was truthful about the lack of attraction. He sort of fudged and played along and kept in the process and was like, oh, you're a beautiful girl. Like, I don't know where my head's at. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. And so I think he not only didn't try and establish an attraction or connection, he also wasn't honest. So it's just like, when he said, oh, I tried, I know we're going to come to this. I keep jumping to the end. But in terms of Nathaniel and Ella, they both were trying to get everybody. I know what you mean about Nathaniel not necessarily trying to get everyone behind him, but I think he was to some extent, because he was saying to the group, you're seeing the real her. And they were both saying, and she was saying, you're seeing the real him.
Well,
they were playing the same sort of, in some ways, true. They were acting in a similar sort of way.
I think he did what you mentioned before about, he put people on the spot. Like, as soon as it started, as soon as the drama was starting and Ella was going, I knew this would happen, which he said like 5 or 6 times. Like, of course you did. We all fucking did.
Yeah.
So you should have maybe been better prepared.
Have you not watched the trailers we've been shown all week?
Like when he said, you know, canoodling with the fella up there at the end of the table, and then just went to JJ. It's like, are the feelings reciprocated? And JJ was just like, well, I didn't quite catch. I know.
And JJ's incapable of giving a direct response.
No,
like in the same way that he's sort of like quite passive in his movements, he's just incapable of having like a strong emotion that we can see, a strong resolution of feeling or fact or sentence. Like me, I'm just going around in circles. I think I'm overwhelmed by the breakfast drama today.
But even before that, he put poor Adrienne on the spot. Not to say anything against anyone, but just to continue as if she hadn't heard what she just heard.
So how was your honeymoon?
Go on, tell me. Carry on. After he just like and then laid she, into I Ella. Know. And then she's just sort of like,
and Adrian was like, not as bad as that.
Which I'm glad she said, because then she kind of was acknowledging, like, look, come on. I'm not just going to continue to talk about my amazing honeymoon when all this is going on.
Matt said there was a show off, but now he's seen you lot.
I know. He's going to think you're a little mouse.
He's got some perspective now.
Yeah.
So, on that, I think now it's fair to come to Bianca.
So, Bianca, I just want to have a moment for what a queen she was, her whole demeanour. I talked about the revenge dress, but really it was just her whole... She was very poised, she kept it together, and at the end when she did blow up, it felt like it was warranted, it was justifiable, and we were all on her side. Mm. But she's such a sweetheart, or she seems such a sweetheart, because I think she was breaking all our hearts when she said things like, I just wanted to fall in love, I just wanted a connection. And then she said to JJ, she almost whispered it to him, and when it had all been revealed, she went, how did you get a connection with her?
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking, because she genuinely wanted to know, how has this happened out of my eye line?
Mm.
And what
met
is
like twice
exactly? Mm. And he said that it's like, oh, I was at the dinner party with her and then the spa, and like
social situations,
and it just she broke my heart, because she kept it so just quiet, and she just genuinely was hurt, and she wasn't playing it up to the cameras and nothing.
Yeah.
It felt so genuinely sad, and I was heartbroken for her.
When Nathaniel had put him on the spot, he said, "Well, that's a conversation for me and Bianca." I was like, but maybe you should have had it by this point.
Oh, exactly. Well, that leads us on to a different point.
In terms of Bianca and JJ, what has frustrated me about him, and I think he even said it, was you can't take time out from something you were never in.
Mm.
So he kept talking about, oh, but we took time out at the table when he was sort of defending his actions of not having had the conversation with her yet. He was like, oh, but I asked for 2 days away to take time out to see where my head's at. It's like, no, you were just texting Ella. Yeah. But you can't take time out from something that you never bothered to try with. You didn't, from what we saw, I mean, I don't think the edit's been unfair to them. I don't think they've had all these romantic conversations, and I don't think he's tried to be affectionate or anything like that. But it frustrates me so much. In his head, does he think he made an effort?
I mean, he can't,
does
surely.
He think he gave her a chance? She never had a chance.
Yeah.
Well, he says he's tried really hard. But I don't know what the evidence...
Wouldn't even give him, like, 1% trying. Like... From what we saw.
Yeah, we didn't see trying.
Not
and
at all.
Surely it wouldn't all have been edited out. If there was an attempt at a connection. I don't think it would have all been edited out, would
Claire,
it?
Claire, look, he didn't have a chance in that week where they're all locked in the same apartment complex together with their old fucking phones that they're clearly using. He didn't have a chance, Claire.
No.
Come on.
The first time he saw her was the dinner party.
He was under too much pressure.
And then we did see someone leap to his defence, didn't we? His fellow Essex boy.
Well, this is
you were so I knew as soon as he
what are your thoughts?
Well, no, I was quite angry, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Because from what we saw, it felt to me like it was the whole, ooh, how can you expect men to deal with a woman trying, you know, throwing herself at him?
They're only
it
human.
Had an air of that. Yeah, I thought Ella was doing this, Ella was doing that. So it felt like he was trying to excuse the man's behaviour and totally blame the woman. That's what it felt like from what we saw.
Just for clarity, we're talking about there's only so much pressure a man can take, especially when there's problems with his wife.
Yes, that's it. Especially when he's not getting on with his wife and another woman is throwing herself at him.
Yeah.
What do you expect him to do?
How can he resist?
That's what it felt like to me.
Ella was at him and at him and at him, which may well be true.
Yes. How can he have a backbone when he's being...
He's a slug.
Oh, no, don't. So mean. I'm sure he's a lovely person. But
it did feel like that. Boys will be boys.
It did.
Like you
it
said
did.
Before,
it was
didn't
excusing.
It did feel like that.
It felt like it was excusing really, really shitty behaviour.
And Jordan was challenging it.
Which made me like Jordan.
Yeah.
It did.
But then Jordan got called fucking stupid.
Yeah, I think you're fucking stupid.
I was so shocked.
Yeah.
I don't know where that... I mean,
I know.
They're in this intense environment and emotions are flying around and you can't be super calm within that. Or you can, but it's very difficult. So maybe, you know, everybody was hyped up. Everybody was part of this intense emotion. So, you know, maybe that was coming out a little bit for Luke. But it just felt so out of nowhere that all of a sudden him and Jordan have got this beef. And he's defending JJ.
We almost need subtitles.
So much.
We almost need subtitles of like... These two had a run-in that wasn't filmed in the corridor over a game of like corridor football.
It needs some context.
Yeah, sometimes you need context, but that's what I meant about it being so chaotic, because it was like there was drama from every corner, from different people that you weren't necessarily expecting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that the whole thing was geared around Ella and JJ. It was like, you know, Tasha and Erica and then Luke and Jordan. And you couldn't relax. My blood pressure was so high. I do think, going back to Bianca, I do think she has had such an unfair journey, but she's come out absolutely just loved by the group and hopefully the public. We haven't seen the commitment ceremony next week, but she just held herself so well in the face of like absolute humiliation.
Well, of course, when Ella and JJ came back in and people like, oh my god, they're coming back in as a couple.
Ella chucked her glass and stormed. She actually smashed her glass. Did you hear that?
Well, what I heard was I heard that glass bounce and not shatter.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that is glass.
Oh, right. I thought I heard something smash. But it was like, you've got to have a lot of courage to come back in when you've stormed out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then they came in and it was a bit smirky. And that's why I loved...
It was so awkward, though.
It was so awkward.
It was horrendous when they came back in.
And then...
The body language was so sheepish and awkward. And I was like, what if they come back for? Do they want group approval? Are they going to ask to come back as a couple together? Are they hoping to get everybody on board?
I did think that was coming.
I do think that might be coming.
Yeah.
And then Bianca was just... She played it so well.
Well... I'm a girl's girl. Let's start with what are your views?
You just, like Bianca said it perfectly.
Yeah.
You can call yourself a girl's girl, but then you've gone after someone else's husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
but hang on. Nothing happened. They were just texting.
But they've
and meeting up.
Well, none of us are stupid. None of us are stupid, but it's also like,
sorry, can I just say Sarah shot me a really harsh look?
Did I?
None of us are stupid, Omar. We know what you've been doing.
How dare you?
It's just, again, like I mean, that is a bit of a gaslighting thing to say, isn't it? It's like nothing's happened. It's like,
oh, well, I hate that.
You've
it's
been
so
texting,
annoying.
You've met up, you've said you want to be together, you've said you fancy each other, everyone saw you at the spa day. Like, obviously it can all be explained, it can all be excused, but we know there's something happening.
It's not a get out of jail free card because you haven't kissed
or
had sex or done anything. That's not the point.
Well, they want to play both sides. On the one hand, they'll go, yeah, there's a connection, but nothing's happened, but there's a connection.
So why are you angry? Nothing's happened.
And then Bianca, having played it so well in terms of, bless her, I don't even think she was playing it. I think she was just genuinely, she's a genuinely sweet girl. She then rose up like a phoenix and the righteous anger was just beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
And she just laid into them, but still keeping her dignity. And she just managed to do it in such a gorgeous way. I don't know why she needs to give a masterclass in how to like deliver a cutting speech.
Yeah, where it was succinct.
It was brilliant.
It was, you know, the whole, I don't want to listen to your shitty speech.
Yeah.
Perfect. Because no one wants to hear it.
Yeah.
But also angry enough just telling him to fuck off. Telling me he's the biggest prick she's ever
had. I've had a few. But she just, I just think she played it really, really well.
And an important thing, sorry Claire. Especially as you've actually said this last night, so I'm going to talk over.
I'll go and steal it.
Credit.
Was that she didn't leave?
I know.
Yeah. I was very impressed by that. She didn't storm off. She didn't go, you know, I mean, they were all going, I'm done, but then coming back. But she just, you know, she did come back and she did kind of stay with the group.
Everything felt really dignified. And really regal, almost, of like, I've delivered what I needed to say, I've sat back down. It didn't ever feel like she was looking for extra drama or wanted to keep stirring. She just wanted to say her piece and sit back down. I just really respected it.
But I think, importantly for me, it wasn't too dignified. There's a point where people go, you know, I'm going to be the bigger person and I'm not going to... Sometimes... You can't do that in a highly emotive situation. Yeah. Sometimes you do have to go, you know what, I'll fuck you.
Yeah,
but I think the anger, that's what I mean about everyone would have been behind her at that point, because actually if she'd stayed, like, I don't know if meek's the right word, because I think she's got strong views and she's just brilliant. But if she hadn't said anything, I think we would have felt it was a missed opportunity.
Yes.
And I think everyone was behind her and everyone was like probably jumping off her sofa. It's like, say it, anger,
And Ella was doing the classic thing that happens in these situations, which actually I want to come to in a broader sense in a minute. She was saying, I've come here to find love.
I know.
I've
come here to... That's not this show. This show isn't called Find Love at Any Expense.
Yeah.
But also, that's not what the conversation is about.
Yeah.
Whether you were with someone that you felt a connection with, felt well matched to or not, is irrelevant given what is happening in this situation with you and another person's husband. It doesn't matter. It's not an excuse that you and Nathaniel aren't getting on, that you then sort that elsewhere.
Sometimes someone like Ella, because we've seen this happen before on other seasons, I think sometimes they almost feel shortchanged of like, right, I didn't find love, who else can I find love with? I'm on the show now, and it's like at the expense of other people. And I don't think they realise quite how heavy-handed they are in terms of hurting other people. I don't think they quite realise what they've done to be anchor.
Well, it's just they do this thing of like, I'm going to have to be selfish.
Yeah,
I'm here to find love, and it's like, yeah, fair enough. But the cost of that is your integrity. Integrity is like doing the right thing even when it's bad for you.
Yeah,
but people very rarely do that.
You need to get them a t-shirt.
People very rarely do that, and you know, in this instance, I don't really give a fuck. It's a TV show that I enjoy watching and doing a podcast about. It's not going to affect my life, but. It's a big mark on her character.
It is a shame, and I think everyone would have been behind Bianca, and actually, yeah, and Ella's sort of spoilt her reputation a little bit of how we did see her before. And also, riddle me this: what do JJ and Ella actually know about each other?
Yeah,
like what I know.
You've seen her in swimsuits.
Yeah,
nice.
I think if they were quizzed, like imagine it's like the Green Card film, and they're applying for a green card, and they were being quizzed by like the authorities, like how many siblings do they have? What's their favourite colour? How do they take their tea? I don't think they could tell you one fact about each other. So they're willing to throw everything away on this sort of very surface level. Oh, she's got fake boobs. He's a player type of guy. Yeah.
But then what are they actually throwing away? You know what I mean? They, like, Ella would say there's no connection with Nathaniel, they're not there, there's nothing. So she's not throwing away that relationship. JJ would say the same thing about Bianca. So from their selfish point of view, what are they throwing away, really?
I guess for me, because I'm a huge people pleaser, it would be like the group approval. Yeah. It would be like ruining those friendships that you've made.
But
the public turning on you.
Do
you think they'd not care about the public turning on them?
Well, they might, but then notoriety is, you know...
True. Because when they came back into the room with looking really sheepish, I felt like they were looking for group approval or trying to like not burn that bridge. Because why would you come back in the room?
Yeah, well, probably because they were told that.
By the producers.
Isn't it? Probably because they had to.
It's so weird when the fourth wall falls and you see a producer chase somebody out. Like, ah, come back. You're under contract.
Who's that? A new bride? Yeah,
but I don't think they have burnt their bridges within the group. Not really. Luke was still sticking up for JJ.
That's true.
And I think Tasha and Peggy was with Ella.
That's true.
So I don't think they are throwing away anything, really.
I wonder what will happen with Ella and all the people she was saying, come on, stand up. I've been really supportive.
No,
it was desperate.
It was awkward, and it was quite sad in a way. Yes. It was like really grasping, and then the group just looked so shell-shocked, and I don't know if it was how it was edited, but when it turned to the group, a lot of people were just silent. Even when Nathaniel did his little speech and left, nobody got up to hug him. Everyone just sort of sat there, and it panned on Roz, and it panned on the new couples, and everyone was just sort of sitting there like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, they've both gone in an absolute whirlwind of drama. Which side am I on? I don't know. Yeah. Like, obviously, most people probably say Nathaniel, but I don't know. It was just, everyone just looked really shell-shocked.
Yeah.
So, do we think they're coming back in as a couple?
I would guess that they are, because we've seen it happen before where the experts punish couples who've cheated and say, you can't come back, you've betrayed. You know, when we've seen it, like, they get turned away.
Yeah.
But we've seen it when they have allowed couples back in. Because, like, oh, we've got a genuine spark. I don't know. I couldn't really call it, I don't think.
I think it's going to happen.
I think they'll be allowed back in.
I can't remember the last series, UK or Australian, where there wasn't some level of partner swapping. And I did say...
I know. That's the problem. It's become a thing.
Yeah. You kind of expect it now. And I did say on Wednesday, when JJ and Ella met, I tweeted that I was bored, but... I'll take it back. I was very entertained last night.
What will be interesting is, because they do have such a surface level connection, if they do let them partner up, imagine them trying to have a successful relationship and be on the couch and go through all their feelings. Mm-hmm. It might be quite revealing of, oh, you actually don't like each other. You thought you did. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe be quite interesting on, like, oh, we've made a horrible mistake. Yeah.
It's going to last 5 minutes.
Be interesting.
Yeah. I'll wager you both a drink at the podcast night out.
Thought you were getting them anyway.
All that advertising money. So we obviously need to address, there are two more new couples, which is a head spinner. But we wanted to talk about the fact that we saw Laura and Arthur. They haven't had much screen time as a couple.
No.
We saw Laura and Arthur, and her friends were there picking him apart.
God, yeah.
Like a seagull with a chip.
If it weren't for that dinner party, I probably would have spent half an hour just slagging them off.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's very rich, isn't it? When you see friends on maths and they act like their say is the final say. Mm. And it's like, well, he needs our approval or she needs our approval. I'm like, you're not a really important person in this process. They're a couple, and like, your approval is neither here nor there. I mean, maybe to some people, their friends' approval is everything. But sometimes the friends come in. We've seen it before. They talk to camera and it's like, if we don't like him, she won't want to stay with him. And it's calm down.
Yeah.
And Arthur's a sweetheart.
They were so smug. And obviously, editing.
Yeah.
They'd put together the bit of him talking to his mate saying, I just think, you know, she's a lot cleverer than me. And sometimes it's over my head.
Yeah.
And they cut back to them and the three of them.
Not much going on.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Do you know what? I don't think ignorant people know they're ignorant. Isn't that a thing of, like, you don't, if you're not very clever, you don't know. I think for him to even say that shows he's cleverer than he thinks he is. I think he was putting himself down.
Do you know you're ignorant? So I was looking at Claire.
I think the fact that he was that self-aware and that, like, sort of critical of himself, which was a shame in a way, shows that he's a lot cleverer than he thinks he is, potentially. And maybe she's using, like, some lofty terminology in some... She might be talking about her particular job or her particular interests, and we can't all know everything. There's different ways of being clever, aren't there? Street smarts. I don't have street smarts. But yeah, he was really putting himself down, and then to cut to her friends, really laying into him, was really nasty.
And he sort of misspoke, really, when he said that I spent 10 minutes doing I should have just made that effort. It came to me easier than I thought.
Yeah, because I know her now, and I started to have feelings for her, and I care for her now, so it was easy. I did it in 10 minutes.
And then I can't believe you only spent 10 minutes. Yeah. But then it was all editing, because by the end they were singing his praises, weren't they?
Yeah, true.
So it was annoying. Because
it was a quick turnaround.
Well, I was like, oh, these friends. And at the end they're like, we like him. I was like, oh, okay. We like you now again.
Yeah.
The final wedding of the series. Please, God, I can't do any more weddings.
I know. Are there going to be any more couples?
Yeah. Mark and Sean. Again, God, we could have spoken for ages about Mark.
I know,
we could
have. I had so many notes about this couple and now I don't even care.
You come in black. I know.
How dare you?
I can't believe I'm in black. How enabling were those friends? Were they like, oh, he's not going to go. He's in black. He's not going to like him. He's in black. I'm like, stop enabling his weird...
He said no one in a black suit.
Yeah.
That's it.
And
done.
Sean's such a lovely guy.
Yeah. Aww. I hope Sean, like, Bianca sort of... wasn't unexpected, because I saw the commitment ceremony when she was talking to JJ about, like, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way, you know. Yeah. There was a bit of steel there. I hope Sean has that. I hope he's not going to be walked over.
I don't think he's the sort of person. He seems like he's really got his head switched on. Is that an expression?
If you can play it two expressions.
Just go with it.
His head
sounds
is
good.
On. I feel like Sean's handled it so far, handled it being Mark's personality. I think Sean's been great because he didn't even back down. You know when they had that little tete-a-tete, that little confrontation about saying something negative and Mark walked out on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And then
when
he came back in, Sean didn't really back down. He said, I apologise, but things are going to happen. We are going to experience negativity in our lives and it's okay. And actually, it was quite sweet seeing Mark sort of melt into the relationship.
Into that.
Yeah.
Before, you know, because obviously we're going to talk about Mark's diva-ish tendencies, I will say, by the end of that honeymoon, I had warmed to him much more.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I like them together, I think.
But it'd be fucking hard work. I can't.
I think he admits it. And some people
he's hard work, doesn't he?
Some people like having somebody they can sort of manage. And if you heard a thing
after.
About... Sometimes there's an analogy about having someone be the plant and someone be the gardener. And some people like to be tended to, some people like to tend. So obviously they might be a great match where Sean's happy to like live up to the diva demands and Mark's happy to dish them out. Sean didn't seem put off by that.
No.
Oh, no, he was doing the fire, he was doing the hot chocolate,
maybe he'll get
he was
sick
making
of it
the dinner.
But it was funny, because even when they were showing them at home before they met, it was Sean being quite a good cook and, like, cooking up a storm in the kitchen. Then it cut to Mark getting his food delivered by his mum. And I was like, oh, my goodness, he's just being given a cook.
What are your views on new look?
Oh,
I'm all for a bit of new look. They do a petite range.
They have some good shoes, but there was a lot of snobbery there, wasn't it? It was like, work in Gucci and you work in new look. It felt like you'll know more than this because you're the clever one with psychology, but it felt like Mark was doing that classic thing of trying to reject before he could be rejected. So I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm pushing you.
Yeah,
then Sean just stayed really like mellow and chill and was like, it's okay, I like you. And he was like, oh, do you? Oh, okay. I like you too. And it was like he needed that reassurance before he could even give him any softness.
I know. But then at the dinner party I was surprised because Mark said, oh yeah, we're getting on as friends. Well, in that igloo
things were
there
alluded
was more happening
to.
Than that was just
and
what
then
you do
he,
with your friend.
Exactly. And then he turned to Tash and went, oh, but we've done some bits or something. And I was like, oh, okay, you're admitting it. I think he was really downplaying it in quite an unfair way because it was like, how's it going? He was like, all right. And I was like, no, you like him.
It's more than all
it's
right.
It's been sexy time. Like, you've been having fun.
They have got off to a good start and their honeymoon looked a bit fun as well.
It looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
Imagine going there, though, in Lapland and you don't get to see the Northern Lights.
No.
Money back. Yeah, money back guarantee.
I bet there isn't one of them.
What about his instant thing of, oh, how old are you? 26.
Oh, that was so funny. He didn't even take a breath. Can you think how many times he's done that?
And then he goes, I just lied. I've been married 10 minutes, I've just lied.
I actually find him quite endearing. I think once you've heard his backstory, you find him more endearing. But also, he's just so wild. With, like, to lie like that, it's just so wild.
And then also, but it was funnier because he knew.
I know.
Yeah.
And then his friends and family got him out of that situation, though, because they called him
they
out as well.
Yeah.
How old did he say he was?
Yeah, because they knew he was going
to
do it.
He didn't have to admit it was a lie. They just laughed in his face.
Yeah.
And Sean took that really well, too,
he
didn't
did.
He? He's
I
just like
Sean.
Oh, well, he's not that bad.
He did. I think, I've warmed to Mark. Obviously, the first few encounters with him on screen were like, oh, God.
Yeah.
But at the very least, he'll be entertaining.
Yeah. And we like Sean because he is a listener, so obviously his head is switched on.
I almost don't want to know who's a listener because I want to be able to slag people off indiscriminately.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this.
Oh, really?
Yes, I wanted to ask you both about this because we are having quite a lot of interaction with the cast on Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
We know we have quite a few of them that listen. So I wondered where you were both at with that because I feel my prediction is you're both going to approach that very differently.
I try not to think about it because I do want to be kind to everybody, but I also think like we have to say what we think, and I try and imagine no one listens. Not even.
We have zero listeners. Yeah,
we have no listeners, and we just put this out into the ether. That is how I try and approach it. I know one listener, Johnny, because I make him listen.
Three-star review. Left.
Rude.
What's your take, Omar?
It's essentially the same. I'm grateful that anyone listens. It's great that we have interactions with them, and we do get snippets from behind the scenes. I should say, actually, I didn't quite get a chance to mention it earlier, that Luke was in touch today saying that that bit we've said about all the pressure on the guy has been misinterpreted.
Yeah.
He was talking about men's mental health, that JJ was under a lot of stress and had been advised by the welfare team to take time out and all this. And it's like, well, what can we do? But I don't think we've misinterpreted what we saw. I think what we were shown is we've given the correct interpretation. If stuff's been taken out, we're the voice of the viewer.
Yeah, we can only respond in the same way you, the viewer,
to
do.
To what we've actually seen.
Again, it's like, you know, this is where do we draw the line between... It's nice that these people listen and everything, but we just approach it as viewers, so...
Yeah.
Thank you, but we're going to, you know, just say what we think, and, you know, it's...
Hopefully be fair.
Yeah.
We're not as lovely as the experts. They're always really nice.
I want to be able to come here and say that I think JJ is a slug.
Oh, God. I don't like that. It's mean.
This is what I mean about the different approach.
Yeah. But we cannot stop before we've talked about the final couple. We've got one final bit, which is Matt and Adrienne's honeymoon.
Yes.
And the reason this has stuck with me, and I've been waiting to talk about it, is can you imagine for me how triggering it was for someone to be called a show-off? I just felt really triggered. And I was like, some people just louder than others. I'm partially deaf, so I can't even hear myself. It's just, I thought it was a really weird thing for him to say. And I think it was very heavy-handed. I don't think he even meant what he said.
Yeah.
Because I think they were getting on like a house on fire. And what he meant was like, you're slightly louder than me, I'm slightly quieter than you. But he should have come to it from the point of view of, we're different, these are where my faults might be, these are where your faults might be.
Wasn't the right time.
But he just said, he just said, you're a show-off. And I was like, that is a really loaded...
And I don't like show-off. You're a show-off and I don't like show-offs.
The thing is, for me, show-off is a really, really loaded term.
Yeah.
And it can often be directed at little girls. And in my experience, like, bossy and show-off are two words often used about girls and not so much about men.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was really triggering of like, you know, you might really enjoy something or you might be really excited about something and be called a show-off, but actually you're just being honest and open and excitable.
Yeah.
And I really like Adrienne, and I don't think he meant it, but it was such a loaded term. And you could see for her, she was a bit heartbroken because...
It was so clumsy. Out of the blue, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She's kind of whimsically saying, oh, I don't know what we're going to be incompatible on. And he's like, well, I'll tell you. It's this. And she must have just been so taken aback by that.
Because they were like, we both like medium rare steak. We both like the sun and the sky. They were finding all these things. Bless them, it was very sweet. And then suddenly, he was finding fault. And it felt like, why are you bringing this up? And why are you saying it in such a loaded way?
Yeah, it was very clumsy. But I'm glad next episode... Or next day, I can't remember.
Episode, they sorted it out, because I wouldn't have been able to sleep if they'd left it like that. I could just tell that she'd had things said about her, because it really it caught her off guard a little bit, where she'd done a lot of healing, maybe, of like people laying into her about her physical appearance, her personality. Mm-hmm. He said something that brought up a lot of old feelings, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Us show-offs have to stick together.
Are you done now?
Yes. I'm finished. My little speech.
Right, well, there's a lot.
I know, I need to lie down.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to talk to Shona. Stay tuned, everyone. I'm fucking off. I can't.
We're going to talk to the beautiful Shona.
Yes.
Christ. Do you guys remember Terence and Portia?
I was saying all these new couples don't even know who Terence and Portia are.
Yeah.
They've never met Brad and Shona. So it's like,
sliding
this show
doors.
To me, this show is like I'm in my own toxic relationship, because every time I think I've had too much, I come back for more, and then I have
leave,
and it gives me the ick, and then I love it, and then I just can't leave. And it's like, you can't take a break, because there's a new person, there's this new drama, there's
So again, thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for Claire and Sarah talking to Shona. Obviously follow us on Twitter at MathsHysteria and Instagram as well. But for now, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Lemur Abid.
We never even got to talk about how Thomas and Roz put a whole raw onion in their spag bol.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, welcome back everyone. So we are joined by the radiant Shauna.
Hi, hi guys.
Lovely to have you here.
Yeah, I think you just told us before we started, this is your first podcast.
First ever podcast.
Yeah. We're so privileged. Thank you for choosing us.
Thank you. I'm a bit nervous.
No, don't be. We will be super kind. I think one of the first things I wanted to ask you was, does it feel like a long time ago now? Because we're obviously watching it as if it's happening now, but for you, it was months and months ago.
Months and months. Like, I got sent home the end of April.
Oh, wow. April. Yeah. It's nearly Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. Mental. So, yeah, it was wild to, like, go through all that and then process that and then relive it again.
I guess kind of painful at points, probably, reliving it.
Yeah, really painful. I, like, last few weeks, I've just been, like, going out with my hood up and just feeling, like, just a little bit, like, in my shell and just reliving it again. But I think it's just actually been quite, like, therapeutic in a way. Mm-hmm. Just, like, let's close that chapter now, because it's been such a build-up of, like, I processed it and then I knew I was going to have to relive it again. And then now I've just closed it and it's closed forever. Close that chapter.
Right, let's open it back up. We want to talk about it.
Sorry. I'm in a good headspace to talk about it now, though. Like, it's that. I don't have to watch it and stuff, and I feel really quite confident and comfortable talking about it.
Good. That's amazing.
How would it be for you if we start at the beginning? So what made you want to apply to maths? What was the application process like? Mm. What kind of brought you to it, and how did you get to where we are now, I guess?
So funny, because where I'm sat now is like where I did my audition video for maths. I basically broke up with my partner and had like some time to be single, but I was like, I really want to meet someone, but I feel like he doesn't live in Nottingham. I feel like the dating scene, like Hinge and stuff. And I said to my housemate, I was like, I'm just going to apply for maths and I feel like I'll get on that show, because I'm like an open book. I'm quite good at just talking about stuff, and I just had a feeling, and then I applied. I sat here, did my little video, and then bam, went on maths. No, it was so fast. Like, the process was so fast. And I think I, because Bradley was already in like the pipeline, and I think I was cast for Bradley, I think.
Okay, because some people we've spoken to before have said it's a really long out process, and I think it really does depend on whether they need more girls, more boys, and like you obviously came in maybe where they needed the right fit or what they thought was the right fit. Obviously, they were wrong.
Yeah.
For Brad, but yeah, for some people, it's taken like 9 months for them to fill in all the forms. Yeah. Did you not have loads and loads of forms to fill in and all that sort of thing?
Loads of forms, and I remember like having interview after interview, but it was just like I think it was like a month. I just did all that, had all my psych things, and then bam, I was like off looking for my wedding dress and like having my like secret hen do with my friends and stuff. It was mad. It was almost like so fast that I didn't have much time to think about it. I was like, okay, let's go. I'm getting married to a complete stranger.
Oh my goodness. Did you have to pause your job?
I'm freelance.
Okay.
So I just got my classes covered. It was so easy. Just so simple.
As a yoga instructor.
So I've only just done my yoga teacher training. I did that after maths, but I work with kids. I teach performing arts.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, yes, you're beautiful. With the American accent.
What, the mandor? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. So you didn't have to like ruin your career to go on or anything. It was like you can just press pause and then come back to it. And now you've done yoga training. Amazing.
Yeah.
What are you going to do next? But obviously, going back to the process, if you've applied, and then did you hear them say, we have a match for you?
Yeah. It's so weird because my memories, I always remember exactly where I was. I was outside my front door, and someone rang me from Channel 4 and she was like, we found your man. And I was just like so buzzed, ran into like my housemate. I was like, I ran straight to mum and dad. Like mum and dad, I was so incredibly nervous to tell them, like incredibly. Like I told them I'd applied for it really, really late. Like just as like Channel 4 were like, we're like 99% sure that you're on it, that we found you someone. And went over to mum and dad's and I was like, I'm getting married. And they were just so chill. Like, it was not the reaction I thought. And I said to them, I was like, if you're not okay with it, like, I won't do it. Like, genuinely won't do it.
Wow.
But they're on board. Yeah.
So you feel like they trust your decisions and they knew that if it was something you wanted to do, they were just behind it.
Mm. Yeah. And I think they just thought, like, why not? But because, like, my mum is, like, really super sensible and she, like, I know that in her heart she didn't want me to do it. But being my mum was just like above and beyond supportive. Like she got me an engagement ring.
Oh my goodness, oh, your mum did.
And I was like, mum, I need an engagement ring. And then she got me one from Oliver and Bonus. So it was so cute.
Is it now like in a cupboard somewhere? Where's that ring?
It's rusty. So I got rid of it and I was like, yeah.
That feels like an analogy. I'm interested to know, do you feel like you were edited as true to who you are? Did we see the real Shona?
You didn't see fun Shona at all, like ever. You saw like low vibe, very confused, what do I say next, Shona? Which is like, I will say like Bradley and I, what was so like toxic about our relationship, like we would laugh our heads off so much. Like he genuinely, like, when I met Bradley, I was like, no one has ever made me laugh like this.
Oh,
like pissing myself. Like I was always like, don't, I'm gonna wee constantly. And you didn't see any of that. And like, I'm really silly, I'm really playful, I'm really fun, like I'm vibrant. But you just saw obviously like our worst bits together. But I'm not saying that they are very real, like that is what happened. So you didn't see like a full version of me. You saw just low vibe Shona. Oh. And it wasn't very nice to watch.
Do you feel like with the channel or the producers, they're trying to get the storyline and you become that storyline as a couple and other couples get to have another storyline and so it's not maybe the full experience of what you had?
Yeah, so interesting. So when I watch an edit, I noticed that a lot of my lines were used of like, oh, what if he doesn't like me? What if I'm not enough? When you think about how long you do your interview to camera and your backstory, it's like 3 hours. You talk about so much stuff. And then interesting, because obviously, like being on maths just showed to me that I do have work to do on my self-esteem. Like I thought before maths, I was like, I'm in the best place ever, done so much work on myself, like throw anything at me, I can handle it. But really it just showed, no, like you do have a little bit of work to do, which is okay. And it sent me on the biggest journey, like the biggest self-love journey right now. And I think, but the storyline picked out those bits, like in the Maldives, it picked out like, oh, like, I hope I'm good enough for him. And like, I did say those, but I also was after that, like, no, I am good enough for him. Like, I was saying that, but that wasn't used.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's fine. I was like, because that is the voice in my head. Like, I do think like that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it.
Yeah. We've seen a lot on Instagram. I think there's some frustration for the cast around the edit this year.
Mm.
Seems to be quite a few kind of cast members on there talking about how frustrating the edit is. And did you feel frustrated, or how did that kind of sit with you that we didn't see that side?
You know what, I wasn't frustrated at all, because our main, like, yeah, we had good times and stuff, and yeah, I was laughing and things at times, but majority, like, our storyline is what happened. That is, like, we left the show 3 weeks in. Like, it got really bad really quick.
I think it was three weeks.
Yeah. Mental, and so much happened in such a short amount of time.
Yeah. How was it with the experts? How did you find that?
Oh my God, I find like sitting on the couch, because you're really quite far away from them as well.
Yeah,
you just feel, Yeah, such a gap, and it just feels very exposing. And like, even when Bradley and I like just come back from the Maldives, and I was like on cloud nine, like genuinely I felt like I was high. Like I felt like I was on drugs. Like I felt like I just was like floating everywhere I went. I was so like happy, like in this dream world, like this isn't life. Like I feel like I'm in a movie. Like, who is this guy? Like, is this real? But even then I was so nervous to sit on that couch in front of them. Even if you have like no problems as such to talk about, it's still like really daunting. But their advice, they were great. They were really, really great. And like stuff that you didn't see in the edit, like when Bradley and I got sent home, Paul said, like, guys, he kept like just saying like, this isn't going to work. But Bradley was very much like, you're telling me I can't be with Shona? Like, I love her. I'll be different on the outside. And Paul was very much like, this won't work. And I could feel like a slight, not like frustration, but he was like, this won't work because Bradley, you've got demons, and Shona, you've got low self-esteem. And I could just feel myself like, yes. But then it hit home and I was like, it's so true. It's so true. Like,
so did Paul saying that, obviously Brad was like answering back, whether it was in person or in his head, of like, no, being defiant. Did Paul saying that make you think, oh, maybe I should listen to him? Or did it make you want to fight for the relationship more?
No, because I was in that moment, I was very doubtful. But when we were actually told we were like going home, my like defense mechanisms kind of went up and I was like, ah, this is like so serious. Like, who's ever been sent home from maths before?
Can you talk us through how that happened? Like, how did they approach you to say that was the news, that you were going home?
So obviously something happened after the dinner party, and Bradley and I both said like, oh my God, let's just have space away from each other. And it was very much like, I was like, I can't be here anymore. And he was also like, I feel like a caged animal. I can't be here anymore. And so like, we both had talks with like the psychs and stuff, and I slept in a different room. And I think it was like 2 days. And then him and I actually had a chat where we said, I was like, Bradley, I can't put up with this anymore. Like, this is not okay. It doesn't feel like love, and it's really hurting me, and I know I'm losing my light. And like, Channel 4 was super, super concerned, and they were obviously like discussing it all whilst Bradley and I were having this chat. And we both said, okay, let's stay one more week. Let's just stay one more week so we can kind of get it into a healthier place, and then we can just leave on our own terms. Because I was also by this point really aware that I'm a teacher and I work with kids, and I was getting really panicked that teenagers would watch me and be like, what? Why is this happening? Why is Miss Shona like letting that man speak to her like that? And why has she just been sent home? Like, I was so full of complete anxiety about it all. So I was like, no, let us fix this, please. Like, we can. And then Channel 4 like just came and said to us, guys, like, we've come to the decision that you've got to go home.
Did they give a like definitive reason for that? Because like you said, it's never happened before.
Just because it was just so up and down, and both of us clearly, like Bradley was definitely struggling in that environment, like definitely. That's not me like excusing his behaviour, but he was really like, stressed out like by so many different factors. And then I think I was absolutely fine in the environment, by the way. I absolutely like loved the experiment. I loved being there, but the relationship was just, my light was just completely dimming. And I was so emotional. I just felt like, oh my gosh. And especially because you have no, can't like really just like ring my mum. And I didn't want to ring my mum and be like, mum, I'm really struggling. I want like my mum and dad to worry about me. So yeah, it was a decision that was just like, it's gone too far. It's gone too far.
Do you think that was a fair decision on their part? Because obviously lots of couples we see have up and down journeys, and there's a lot of drama, and there's a lot of hurt feelings, and things come that are in the moment. We've seen people swear at each other. We've seen people, hurt each other, cheat on each other. Do you think them asking you to leave, which is almost like unprecedented, do you think that was fair? Do you feel proud, embarrassed, anything? How do you feel about that? And do you think it was a fair call?
So at the time, so how I feel about it now is completely different. But at the time, I felt so embarrassed that it got to that stage, and I put a lot of blame on myself. So I remember sitting there and saying to them, guys, because a lot of it was focused on Bradley, like a lot, the whole conversation, you didn't obviously see it all, was a lot of it was focused on him. And I sat there and I was like, I've got accountability in this because I've let it happen.
Right.
And I really like put a lot of blame on myself. And then I can't remember the question.
No, just whether you thought that it was a fair call by them, because it's quite a big decision, and I completely understand if you felt like, oh, that's gone too far, or maybe you were grateful for that because it made the decision for you.
I hated that the control had been taken out of my hands, but I was confused as well, because I was like, we're here to make this work. Like, we're here with our problems to present to you guys to help us. And I've come here with like so much like excitement to learn about my patterns and stuff, and like where I've been going wrong with all my like 2-year relationships. I've never got past 2 years. Like, help me, like, let me, I want to learn. But it was like, yeah, you can have a fight with someone, like last night, the dinner party, they're like fighting and stuff, but most of the time it's not like completely like the complete repetition of it. The fact that with Bradley and I, it was like repeated. It was like getting worse, and it just kept, there was just like no hope that it was going to stop. That's why. And at the time I felt completely protective over Bradley. Like, oh my gosh, what's everyone going to think of him? Like, oh, it was really stressed me out. And then as soon as quite a lot of time passed, and eventually like Bradley and I went our separate ways, and I processed everything, I was like, that was the best decision ever. Because imagine if I'd stayed, imagine watching and like going through that for, it was the best decision ever.
Okay, good. And like you said, we obviously don't want to talk about Bradley too much because this is about you, but just to touch on quickly, you did stay together after the experiment for, am I right in thinking it was like about 6 weeks?
I think it was like 5-6 weeks.
Quite turbulent, or was it how was that?
It was very much like, I genuinely felt like Bradley was really trying at first, and like I just like obviously came home, spoke to all my friends about it, and my friends were like, Shona, what are you doing? Like, why are you still with this person? But like my heart was like, I just want to give it a go and see if it was the experiment, because a lot of the, like Bradley kept saying, it's the environment, it's not who I am, like I promise I'll be different, I love you, and I believed it, and I was like, okay, you've got one chance, let's go. And it just wasn't, so it was like a lot of the same kind of like listening kind of things, and we just, our energies were just not working, and then went our separate ways.
So that would have been before the show aired.
So that was like
May, June.
So we got home got sent home at end of April, and then we were together for like 5-6 weeks, and I went to Sri Lanka at the beginning of June, and then went back to the reunion, obviously. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. With a great tan, I was like just floated off the beach in Sri Lanka, like felt really good. And going to Sri Lanka on my own, just to like take that time, like I just stayed in like yoga vibe places, did my yoga teacher training, just journaled loads, and just really spent time just thinking, okay, that was really painful and hard, but what have you learned, and what are you going to take forward in your life, and what are you never ever going to stand for again? Like, it was just, the best thing I could have done. And the people I met in Sri Lanka were amazing. On my yoga course, like all the women, I just felt like so empowered. And and then I got divine tattooed on my arm, because my yoga teacher was like, Shona, just held my hand. And she was like, never, ever forget that you are divine. And I was like, okay, I got it on my arm.
Am I allowed to ask some of the things you talked about? You know, you feel like you've learned some things and you're going to carry on looking for different things maybe going forward. Do you mind sharing any of those like learnings that you've realized?
Yeah, so like lots of red flags, just like at the, because there were so many things in times in the experiment where I was just like, I'll just ignore it because I feel like this relationship and no, just like that is a big red flag, like that is a huge red flag. And at the first sign, just be like, okay, no, that's not for me. And just like learning to honor myself more and not put someone above me, because that is what I did massively. And I'm a proper person that I do love to like compliment people, and I do just love, like, I love people. And oh, talking about love, falling in love so fast.
I was wondering if you'd mention that.
I am the person I'm with now, I was like, I'm gonna really learn from maths and just try and be a bit more of like a slow burner. And I just feel like it's just so much healthier. And that is, I just needed to go on this journey. I need, because the way I was with Bradley is the way that I've been with everyone I've ever been with. Like, I've always gone full steam ahead, got so excited. And watching maths back, when Mel was like, I wonder if Shona will learn from this. And like, I needed to do this to learn. Like, that was my time to learn. And I'm really grateful for the whole thing, genuinely.
So you took a lot from it.
Yeah, a lot from it. And I just think the nicest lesson is that, because I could have gone on the outside, like if they had been much with like Paul, had a really good time, but maybe we weren't right for each other, could have met someone on the outside and had a similar relationship to Bradley, could have been a lot longer, could have really like, really kind of massively damaged me. But I always say like Bradley didn't break me. Like he's taught me lots of lessons and I feel like strong and empowered for it. And I can move him forward with my life. So I'm lucky that it was just a short amount of time and he came into my life to just teach me some lessons.
Yeah.
It's really lovely to hear that overall it's been a positive experience and it feels
yeah.
like it's changed your life and maybe propelled you to do the yoga course and you've made
like, yeah.
a life and you feel like you've learned so much. So that's really lovely to see.
Yeah. Do you feel lucky that you weren't at last night's dinner party?
Yes. I feel like I said to my mum and dad, I was like, guys, I think I also just left at the right time because I don't know. I think I just wouldn't have been in that edit because I would have just been sat there, like, not getting involved.
And there were quite a few people like that. It kept cutting to just, like really still shocked faces.
Yeah.
People not wanting to breathe.
George and
no. Rosenthal. It was, like, the most intense dinner party, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mental. But I thought Bianca absolutely handled herself like a queen.
I can imagine you and Bianca being friends, actually.
Me and Bianca are friends.
Oh, there we go.
You wouldn't have got to meet in the process, but at the reunion, I guess, or?
Yeah, so we connected on the outside massively. Like, we'd always go for walks and just chat, because I feel like we both had, like, a really quite difficult journey on maths. So we were, like, one another's support network. And, yeah, we're very quite similar. And loads of people kept tweeting, like, oh, God, Shona and Bianca's voice. Like commenting on our voices. I knew when I went on maths that people would go for my voice, my baby voice.
Oh no.
I like my voice.
Yeah,
I work with kids, so I need to be like animated and, you know, have a distinctive voice.
It's a good thing.
But I wondered about whether you felt, because your journey was quite difficult in lots of ways, I wondered if you felt as though there was more the show could do in terms of support while you're there or aftercare, or whether you felt like actually you were very well looked after.
I think overall I was well looked after. I think, I don't know, there was a part of me that was like in my head when I was in the experiment, I don't think I ever really understood like the whole controlling thing with Bradley's language and stuff, like, because I've been with Bradley, I was very like, I can see what he's trying to say, but then there was so much more going on behind the scenes. And I don't think I really understood how concerned people actually were, really. I don't think that was actually said to me. It was more like it felt like it was just a bit like toxic vibe, not like we're actually super concerned kind of thing. But genuinely, like, welfare would ring me all the time. And I had like psychs all the time just saying, like, do you want to chat? And they were super supportive and they still check in with me now.
Well, that's brilliant. The aftercare's kind of keeping going for a bit, I guess, while the show's airing as well, because before that's going tough to watch, it's going to bring a lot back. So the aftercare's needed, isn't it?
Yeah. But I will say, like, actually, I think that was just like my general vibe of like people around me, like in the cast kind of thing. But like, I remember having a chat with one of the psychs and she was just like, Shona. And it was almost like, I was just so in denial about everything, massively.
And don't you know that, because a lot of us have been there. And when you, as women, sometimes we want to see, particularly with women, we sometimes really want to see the best in people and our romantic partner. So we excuse a lot of behaviour. So actually, I don't think people were judging you in the same way you might feel like they were. I think people were just hoping that he would make himself more known. Do you know what I mean? His behaviour almost needed to get to a point where, I mean, your removal was obviously very concrete, but you'd understand how you got to that point. Mm-hmm. And your excitement was actually really lovely to watch. Like, you know, when you did meet at the top of the aisle and you had that stuff in common, we could see why you fell for each other so
quickly. Yeah.
And then as it started to unravel, it was horrible to watch, but nobody was judging you for that. It was
nice.
We wanted him to be held to account. But it's just lovely to see you so happy now.
Yeah, thriving now and like learned so much. Like, I genuinely just feel like overall it has been a really positive thing in my life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.